Thanks, Raj. I'll put up that first. Can we put up the lights a fraction more up on here, Paul? Just for me. A little bit dark up in here. Mate. Great, beautiful, fantastic. Last week we looked at chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes. Wasn't quite as dark as this week, or somber is more the word I'd say, under the heading of time and eternity. Next one for us. Thanks, Raj. At the end of the message, I left you with three things to consider. One was seasons in time. We thought about the need to understand the time and behave appropriately. Solomon would say, the fool misunderstands the time. There's a right moment for things. Ecclesiastes 8:5 says, a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. How did you go thinking about what season you are in now? Did you think about it at all? Have you done anything about it? We're all in a different season, and different seasons are going to come. The question I want to ask you is, what season are you in? And are you accepting that and acting appropriately? Next, we thought about God and the sovereignty of God. We need to recognise God's divine control over the world, and a God who wants to live in us, wants to guide us, wants to lead us. But also, we thought about the gifts that he has given us, the gift and the things of life. And we read last week in Psalm 31, verse 15, my times are in your hands, David writes. I encourage you to take the opportunity. Who took the opportunity of taking out 15 minutes last week? Did anyone at all? Did you spend a bit of time? Lynn? Great. Just time to do that with the Lord. I won't move too far, Paul. I forgot about the microphone. Then we thought about the judgment just to come. The Lord God is in control. He will call all to account. All will be judged according to their, including Christians. We thought about that. We were held account, not for our salvation, but in our salvation. 2 Corinthians 5:11, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what is done, whether good or bad. Did that make you think about the things that you did this past week? Did it make you think about the things perhaps you watched on TV? Perhaps the things which you said? You're going to have to stand before God one day. As a Christian, yep, saved, but you're going to have to get a count. Why didn't you do that? I gave the opportunity to do that. Why didn't you take it up? Things to be thinking about. Things as we think about as Christians. Well, we turn to Ecclesiastes 4, and there's a dark cloud hanging over Solomon. Thanks, Raj. As he starts, and he says in Ecclesiastes 4, verse 1, then I returned and considered the oppression that is done under the sun. It's a very somber chapter. The preacher, Solomon, he's not a participant as such. He's observing the world without reference to God, under the sun. And he sees that there's a lot of people in the world who are lonely. Thanks, Raj. The Beatles composed a song and sang it back in 1966 called All the Lonely People. The chorus goes like this. All the lonely people, where do they all come from? All the lonely people, where do they all belong? On the internet, I looked this week, and a recent survey was done by the Red Cross and found that 5.6 million people in Australia are suffering from loneliness. The survey found that overall that 7% of Australians feel lonely all the time. 16% often find that they are lonely, and 32% feel lonely at some times. That's a huge amount of people feel lonely for different reasons. People of all ages suffer from loneliness. Children, adolescents, middle-aged, businessmen, housewives, retirees. For some of them, it can be a dark and lonely time. What do you think? Tell me, what are some of the things you think which impact people to make them feel lonely? Give me some ideas. What do you think? What makes people feel lonely? Isolation? Yep. What else? Widowhood? Yep. What else? The weather? It's lovely outside. It's raining. What else makes people feel lonely? Yep, things that they can't talk to other people about. Yep. Lack of money? Yep. A variety of things. Pardon? Aged care people? Yep. A number of things. I think I had a couple down. I had oppression, not being understood, the death of a loved one, work and competitiveness I had down. Thanks, Sir Raj. Well, I want you to come with me this morning for a walk through a photo gallery and look at four pictures of loneliness as we consider all the lonely people. Thanks, Raj. The first picture, as we come down, we enter the door. The first picture we look up on the right-hand side is a picture that says, loneliness caused by oppression. And you'll find it as we look at Ecclesiastes 4:1-3. Thanks, Raj. He starts off with the second part of verse 1. And look, the tears of the oppressed, but they have no comforter on the side of their oppressors. There is power, but they have no comforter. Oppressed. Power in the wrong hands can be a cruel and a devastating thing. Solomon wrote these words about 3,000 years ago, but power and the abuse of others hasn't changed. Pol Pot, Idi Amin, the Nazis, Rwanda, Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, Russia and the insurgency into Ukraine now. By their policies and through their violence, people are torn apart each other from each other, taken away from other, isolated, refugees, homeless, some lose their life. Someone has written this: power tends to corrupt. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Power tends to corrupt. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. There have been two occasions which impacted me significantly with regard to oppression. Thanks, Raj. In 2012, Lynn and I, with a couple of friends, we went to Vietnam. While we were there, we went to the War Museum in Ho Chi Minh City, in Saigon, what you may have known. Inside were a number of pictures showing the impact of war on the people of Vietnam. These pictures told a very dark, bleak world that we live in and the results of the Vietnam War. It was so, and I think if I'm right, Lynn, so one of our friends, Ray and I, walked along, but Lynn and just couldn't go into a certain area just to look at the pictures. They were so intense and so graphic to show what happened. It was so informative for me to see the impact of oppression experienced from the Vietnamese on their side. Lynn and I went to the War Museum in Canberra, and it was a whole different story. But looking at it from their side as they saw themselves oppressed. The other time, thanks Raj, was in 2018. Had the opportunity to go on a study tour of Israel and Jordan. Had the opportunity to go to a place called the Yad Vashem, the World Holocaust Remembrance Centre in Jerusalem West. Our guide took us around, took us to various rooms, and we looked at various things and what had happened and the story of the oppression of the Jewish people and how it impacted them. It was so informative. Something that I never realised before. I learned so much. I wish I hadn't learned quite as much, but there was so much to learn. But there were two rooms especially, two halls which impacted me. Thanks, Raj. The hall on your left, the Hall of Names is a memorial to the Jewish people murdered in the Holocaust, a place where they are commemorated for generations to come. There's no cemeteries, there's no headstones, there's no traces where left to mark the loss of 6 million. And there's pictures up on there, and all those shelves are all the names of every single person as you stood inside there, of all the people who lost their lives. And we just stood there in amazement. And the pictures just kept on coming around. The other one was the children's just memorial, and you'll see it on my right-hand side. This unique memorial, hollowed out from an underground cavern, is a tribute to the approximately 1.5 million Jewish children who were murdered during the Holocaust. The memorial lights, we just walked through, and it was dark inside, and you saw these lights. It's customary in the Jewish tradition to remember the dead just by the lights. So we walked through, and actually I walked through just by myself. I couldn't talk. Each light, is 1.5 million lights as you walk through that place. Behind the back of that, as I walked through, you could hear a person's name, a child's name, the age that they were, and where they came from. And they kept on going round and round, 1.5 million. I came out of there drained emotionally. In fact, on the way home in the bus, no one talked. I just couldn't. I came out asking, why? How could people do that? How could we be so horrible? And as we look at Ecclesiastes 4, Solomon is observing the world, a world without God, the world without Jesus, the world without hope, the world in which there is oppression. Life can be unfair, and there is so much oppression. Thanks, Raj. Proverbs 14, verse 31 says this: "He who oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honours God." So what's the answer? What is the answer? When you look at the problem in the world under the sun, the hunger, the wars, the power struggles, the poor, the maimed, the homeless, what's the answer? Solomon gives, for a world trying to work it out themselves, there is just, he says, despair. Solomon sees an endless spiral. Have we improved over the years? Have we got better? I don't think so. In fact, I think it's getting worse. We're finding worse ways to do it now than we did then. So Solomon looks at oppression. He looks despairingly, and this is not one of the verses that you really want to read in the Bible. Ephesians 4, 2 to 3. I think it's up there, Raj. I think I've got it up on there. Yeah, thank you. "Therefore, I praise the dead who were already dead more than the living who are still alive. Yet better than both is he who have never existed, who has never seen evil work that is done under the sun." That's pretty heavy, isn't it? That's how he feels as he looks around and goes, and that's how I felt as I went to the museum in Jerusalem and going, this is not right. What's the answer? This side of heaven, it appears that oppression will continue no matter how hard we try to eliminate it. Paul reminds us in Romans 8, verse 22, creation is groaning. Creation is groaning. That's why God will have to step in and bring civilization as we know it to an end before we can utterly just destroy ourselves. And then ultimately, as we saw last week in Ecclesiastes 3:17, God will judge the righteous and the wicked. And I can't wait for that. Some of those people need to be held account. And they will be. And God will be very strong for some of those people. But what can we do in small ways? Yes, we keep on praying, as Keith did this morning. We don't stop praying for peace. But can I tell you, we won't get peace this side of heaven. It's not going to happen. But we keep praying. We keep seeking our God especially. And as Jesus reminded the lawyer who asked him about the greatest commandments, remember those two? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. What's the second one? Love your neighbour, love your neighbour. And he gave the story of the Good Samaritan. In Australia at this time, we have opportunities every single day to ensure that we are not adding to oppression others have felt. People have come to Australia from other countries to escape oppression. And we don't really know that stuff in Australia. But people are coming here the whole time. From different places in the country, from Myanmar, they're coming from Vietnam, they're coming from all around the world. The question I've got to ask myself, and you've got to ask your question, what is your attitude towards them? Oh, well, you shouldn't be here anyhow. It's your problem. It's not their problem. They've come here, and we have a great opportunity to say, hi, great. Who is your neighbour? Anybody, no matter what colour or where they've come from, we need to take the opportunity of being by the side and saying, look, it's great to have you here. Share part of your story. I'm willing just to listen. Great. Can I tell you, often I hear people just mumbling under their breath, oh, they shouldn't be here. Rubbish. God has brought them here. We need to be doing things to help, to be by the side. They are lonely. Lonely people, and we can help out especially. We can, and we can show God's love. Naomi Patterson, who's the CEO of Cornerstone, which is run out of Dandong Baps, will be coming here on Sunday the 30th to show us some more things that we can perhaps get involved with. And we're looking at her doing some stuff at the mustard tree. How can we be by the side of people? People are lonely. People are oppressed. How can we help that one especially? Well, that was a dark picture. Raj, can you quickly move us to the next one, will you? It doesn't get any better, but never mind. We go to the next picture. The second picture. Let's move down the corridor. Oppressed from a dictatorial regime. Mercifully, we're far removed. But what about ourselves in the Western world? For us in Australia, 2023, so far away from everyone. Thanks, Raj. He says in verse 4, again, I saw that for all toil and every skillful work, a man is envied by his brother. Competitiveness. Much of the Western society is orientated around competitiveness. In our sport, in our work, with our possessions, even education. For most university courses, you need a VCR, enter score. I knew that, ATAR score. I knew that. Just checking to see if you're awake. They're not so much interested in what you've learnt anything, but how many people did you beat? Did you beat enough people? This creates loneliness, feelings of being left out, a sense of failure, and for some, envy. Competitiveness can and does create loneliness. Can you remember the lineup at school or youth groups when you're doing it's going to be a big activity and there's two captains and you get to pick who you want? Where were you on the line as they picked out? Eh? The captains are always the good ones, right? And what they're looking for, that I know you can play really good. I want you on my side. I take you. Oh, okay, I'll take you then. If I have to take you, you're the last one in here. Just sit over there and behave yourself somewhere type thing. Have you experienced that? Did you experience that in youth group times? How did you feel? Lonely? No one wants me. Fortunately, I was never at the top, but I wasn't at the end. I always end up somewhere in the middle. But it can be lonely. What about greed? Greed in the workforce. You see it in the workforce. A person may be paid well for the job they do, but am I paid as much as them? What about neighbourhoods and friends? What about between neighbours and friends? seeing that someone else has that new car, the new pool, the manicured lawn, isn't that? Our Lord reminded us in Luke 12:15, thanks Raj. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. There's a strange sense of loneliness when we haven't got what someone else has. It can lead to bitterness, anger, and envy. What's the answer? I think this little section is something to say to us all here. How many warnings there are in Scripture regarding the acquisition of things, of how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom. Jesus isn't saying it's impossible, he's just saying that it's harder. Because the acquisition of things, the love of things, the greed, the ambition, the striving, the grasping, the two hands full, this mentality, is so easy to get in the way of the thing that is most important. And that's our relationship with God. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 6, verse 16, godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And again, Solomon, for the third time in his deliberation, focuses on contentment. And verse 6, thanks, Raj. Better a handful with quietness than both hands together full with toil and grasping after the wind. Better is one hand with quietness than both hands full together and grasping. That's what John would say. Then we turn the corner, thanks Raj, and we go and just, if you've ever been to a picture gallery, you know, you always wait around the corner. Here we are in the next corner. Loneliness caused by isolation. In verse 8, thanks Raj, there is one alone without companion. He is neither son nor brother, yet there is no end to his labours, nor is his eye satisfied with riches. But he never asks, for whom do I toil and deprive myself of good? No companion. God's creation centres around companionship. Marriage, relationship with a person of the opposite sex, creation order, Genesis 2:18. God said that it's not good for man to be by himself, so he created a helpmate. Genesis 2:24, leave your father and mother, be united to your wife, become one flesh. Yet some live a life of singleness, and that's quite okay to be single. Some don't choose just to marry. Others lose their marriage partners. But for those widowed, never married, companionship is the major majority of cases they will need to be met in some way. We are created as relational beings, the need for friendship and support. My mum, just before my dad died because of him, he went to an illness, had to move into an aged care herself. I can still picture this now. It's not like a dream, Peter, but I can picture it. Lynn and I, we had to drop my mum off. We found a place where mum could stay for a short period of time. And we went in there and we found mum's room, and it was a lovely place. And we spent some time with mum, and there wasn't a TV in the room which she could watch. And I remember saying to mum, look, we'll be okay, and we will come back. And I remember mum just sitting on the seat on her bed saying, I'll be okay. As Lynn and I walked out the door, I'm going, you're kidding me. My mum, in this lovely place, sitting in her room all by herself on the bed. I'll be okay. Said to my dad, he was still alive then, Dad, we need to go and buy a TV for mum tomorrow, and I'll take her straight to the place. She needs to watch something. I tried to visit my mum in aged care twice a week. We were living in Ferntree Gully. Mum was in there at her Lynbrook. Two times a week, I was there for mum. It was very rare that I wasn't there for mum. There was people around, but it can be a lonely place. Can be a lonely place. And I suppose as we think about seniors' hope, This is what some of those people are like. Some, yep, look, I visited twice a week. And my sister used to fly down from Queensland four times a year and spend a week down there. But some never get a visit ever. And I can picture them like my mum sitting on that bed saying, I'll be okay. No, they're not. That's rubbish. They need help. They need people just to visit for a short period of time to hear part of the story, to share part of the story. What about hiding in work? And Solomon, talking about isolation, looks at the person hiding in work. Possessions never satisfy. People, family, friends. Many a family have been broken up because of the pursuit of wealth and possessions, and then all of a sudden they're lonely. Often the job, the career, Ecclesiastes 4:8, there is no end to all his labours, nor is his eye satisfied with riches. What's the answer? Relationship. And can you put up that one up there? Thanks, Rod. I'm going to have to turn this way here because I haven't got the microphone on. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labour. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. That's what Solomon writes in there. We need to build into our lives relationships. Certainly in marriages, there needs to be support and growing in that. But outside of marriage, we need good friends to journey with. And this can especially, can I tell you guys, especially for you, women as well, but I'm saying guys, we find it harder. Many guys, and I've spoken to, have not got one good friend. They have lots of people they know, but they haven't got one good friend they can share with. That's a common thing for guys, can I tell you right now? Often is that way. We're not very good at developing good, strong friendships with other men who we can share with and be encouraged. I know of a few churches, and I know even at Murubai Baptist Church in Darryl, they have every week, a few of the guys get together for morning tea, for a coffee and a chat and encouragement. And I know my brother-in-law's church does the same thing as well, of just allowing guys to get together just to share. Can I just encourage you, watch this space. Watch could be happening at LBC here as well. We as a church need to look out for those in our fellowship who might be lonely. Make sure we provide opportunities that include all, not just for couples. And I know often it's very hard for you who are single, for those who have chosen not to. We often put things on just together for couples. Can I tell you, the single people feel very awkward at those times. We need to be very aware of this. And making sure we intentionally are inviting them along. And don't just talk about your marriage and all that sort of stuff. Talk about other things which they are interested in as well, because it's so important for them as well. Who are you going to speak to after the service and morning tea? Same old one? I'm comfortable. I know you. Just because you're over there by yourself, don't worry. You'll be okay. God's with you. Watch out for each other. Watch out for each other as part of church. So important. Last picture. Thanks, Raj. We're racing to the end now. We're almost out of the gallery at the back door. Last one. Loneliness caused by status removal. That's the fourth picture. We walk down the corridor with Solomon and see a picture of people who have reached the top. Solomon talks about this in verses 13 and 16. Thanks, Raj. A poor yet wise lad is better than the old and foolish king who no longer knows how to receive instruction. Thanks, Raj. I recently watched a bit of a history of Margaret Thatcher. If you don't know who she was, Margaret Thatcher was the Prime Minister of Great Britain from 1979 to 1990. She was a friend of Ronald Reagan and President George Bush. Senior. The Iron Lady, she was justly called. They showed a picture back in 19, 90 of a black car, engine running outside of number 10 Downing Street. They'd lost the election and all her friends, her closest friends, had left her. They'd abandoned her and she was ditched. Within a matter of days, it was all over. And the vivid scene of one who had been a world power coming out, and there were tears in her eyes and an expression on her face you'd never seen before. She made it to the top, but she'd also been ditched. In Australia, we've seen that something similar with the ex-premier of New South Wales going through all that stuff at the moment. And that sense of loneliness can often happen to men, because men often gain their self-esteem from things that they do. What's one of the first questions often that guys, that you're asked? Oh, what do you do? What's your job? Oh, what did you do? Oh, okay. Mine's an awkward one. Oh, I'm a pastor of a church. That kills the conversation straight away. Oh, that's interesting. Oh, what did I say a bad word then? Oh, I apologise for... Oh, okay. It's always a good thing, you know, just to call yourself a pastor and see how the conversation does change. It's more interesting when it doesn't change. That's when it's interesting. However, when that is taken away, perhaps because of demotion, maybe retrenchment, maybe retirement, for some of those time, loneliness can become a real thing. I think I shared the other week, I've heard of a number of people looking forward to retirement on one hand, but then reached it, not living very many years after that retirement had come. They had no purpose and nothing organised. For them, purpose was so much tied up in their jobs, boredom, lack of worth, loneliness takes over. We need to plan for retirement. We need to see things that we can do. Perhaps it's volunteering somewhere. Perhaps it's volunteering at Seniors Hope. Perhaps it's volunteering at the Mustard Tree. Perhaps it's volunteering at Winter Shelter. There's huge amounts of opportunities to volunteer. What's the answer? Actually, Solomon doesn't give a direct answer for this one. But he does in chapter 12, verse 1. Thanks, Raj. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you have no pleasure in them. We need to live our lives in relationship with our Creator as early as we can and maintain that relationship. Find meaning and purpose in Him, because whether we like it or not, difficult days are coming. And we need to maintain that focus and purpose in the Lord, because under the sun, we will often be put out to dry and our use-by date will come to an end before we thought it would. Thanks, Raj. In Ecclesiastes 4, Solomon has been telling us some more things about how it works under the sun. Remember, under the sun is that Solomon looks out. He doesn't say that there isn't a God, but he's saying, without reference to God, this is what it looks like as I look at the world under the sun, as I look out, as I think the things of day. And under the sun, he says there's much loneliness caused by oppression, by envy, by isolation, and by removal of position. Why is this good for us to hear this? Because we live under the sun. In the outworkings of the Genesis 4, whether we like it or not, we've got to live here. The frustration, the futility, the meaninglessness, the pointlessness, the loneliness and pain in the world actually is a judgment on a world who just said, we don't need you, God, and it's part of our life. We live in a dying world which has walked away from the source of life. If you are a Christian, I am. Maybe you are waiting to be liberated. So don't be seduced into looking for meaning and purpose in things that ultimately will just fade away. Living under the sun but as residents of the kingdom of God, living in the Son. Growing in our relationship with the Lord God of creation and finding true purpose and meaning in Him. But also recognise that loneliness can be and is a real thing. Let me tell you just a short little story. I went to a soccer game. I went to a cricket game first at the MCG. Then there's a new soccer stadium over the road. I rang Lynn, say, Lynn, I've just finished the cricket. Would you mind me if I just went over the road? I'm a sports fanatic, all right? Would you mind if I just go over the road? There's a great soccer game. Victory's playing. I've never been to the stadium. Would you mind? Lynn said, yeah, go for yourself. Don't come home. No, she didn't say that at all. Buy your own tea there, I think she said. I walked into the stadium. I was early. I wasn't going to pay an expensive seat, so I sat behind the goals, just to one side, so I could sort of see what the players were doing. I sat down. No one was there. Sat down, bought a bit of tea. Slowly, the crowd started to come in, and a lot of people sat behind me. I didn't realise what the crowd was like or who they were. They were all the Victory supporters. I've heard some colourful language in the past, but I don't think I've heard some of that language come out of some of those people there. And the most interesting thing was, so I'm sitting down thinking, okay, well, I can see, it should be right. It should be okay. As they kicked the ball off, they all stood up. I'm going, I can't see, what's going on here? So I'm standing up going, well, when do we sit down? They didn't sit for the whole of that half. They stood for the whole time. I think I've just paid for a seat. Why can't you sit there so I can see? But as I came out, I felt so lonely. I was with 3,000 people, but I was lonely because I didn't fit in. I wasn't with the crowd. The crowd were together. They were singing songs about everybody and anything. But I didn't fit in. Loneliness is a real thing. And you need to be aware of that. And we need to be aware of that especially. John Blair writes this as we finish up. He overcomes his lonely days who walks with Christ, who walks with man. And yes, that's true. But also, loneliness is real, and don't diminish that. Don't think, okay, well, you're a Christian, you are walking with God, you'll be okay. Oh, well, that's rubbish in a sense. Loneliness is still a real thing, and we need to be looking out for each other, taking time to make sure you are okay, making sure that things are going okay in your life, especially doing things, looking out. What can we do? Take the opportunity to even this morning and morning tea, just catch up with someone perhaps you haven't done. Just say, look, missed out. Just tell me, how are things going? Looking at opportunities to catch up with someone this week, maybe a person from another culture. The Zomi Church comes in here this afternoon from Myanmar. Many have come because they've been oppressed. How many people have stayed for the service? I know it's pretty loud. I realise that. I know it's loud. You can bring your headphones or something. But how many have actually spent a bit of time just chatting with one to find out about them? It's a question, isn't it, for us? Or that other person which we meet up and we think, oh, well, you shouldn't be in Australia anyhow. What's your attitude to other people? Or are you willing to just have a chat and open up with them especially? Be a listening ear. Here for cracks of loneliness. Do what you can to be there for people. Be aware of those who have come to Australia from other countries that have expressed oppression. Talk with them. Don't just shun them. We're going to finish up with a song, a reminder of support. It's one called I Am Carried. I'm going to invite the musos to come up to the front up here. Raj, can you put up the first verse of I Am Carried, I think? Day by day. And hour by hour, your love for me from heaven flows. Like streams of water in the desert, living waters flow. You walk beside me, gently guiding, leading me through every storm. Everlasting, never changing, grace and love divine.